Let's turn in our Bibles to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew, and we will be reading from Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. Now, this particular passage is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6, our Lord is addressing some issues that he sees with the way people are worshiping. And so, in verses 1 through 4, our Lord addresses how people give alms. And then the verses that we're going to be reading, verses 5 through 8, he's addressing on how people should pray, and he's using an example and trying to describe what is happening there. And then when we get to verses 9 through 15, he talks about what to pray. And he gives us an example, which we call the Lord's Prayer. And then finally, in verses 16 through 18, he describes how to do a fast. And so today we are going to be reading about how to pray. And hear the word of God, Matthew 6, verse 5. And Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And today we're going to look at Jesus' teaching on how to pray. And this particular teaching is not a comprehensive study on how to pray. We're just going to look at what Jesus is teaching us about prayer in this particular passage. And we're going to learn about how Jesus says to pray. And so prayer is confusing to people. And sometimes we don't know when we're supposed to pray, what we're supposed to pray. And for example, there are some Christians who say prayer really isn't necessary. They say, "God knows everything. And God already knows what I need. So why do I need to pray for it? And God has already ordained what is going to happen. So why do I need to pray in order to have God do what he was going to do anyway? So why pray?" And then on the other extreme, we have some Christians who say everything is contingent on prayer. God is not going to act in my life unless I pray about it. God responds to prayer, and he won't do anything unless we come to him in prayer. And so those are the kind of people and kind of Christians that it seems like they're praying about everything: how their work week is going to go, their work day, what clothes they're going to wear in the morning, that God would protect them on their travels to work. And it seems like they're constantly bringing everything that happens to God in prayer. And most people are not at those two extremes. Most people do believe that God is in charge of everything and God is in control of things and that he accomplishes his purposes. But they also believe that God urges Christians, people who believe, to prayer, and that God responds to the prayers of his people. And with these in mind, we might wonder, how should we pray? And we might question, what should we be praying for or about or what? And we want to pray, what should we pray about? And should we really be praying at all, since God is already in control? And today we will try and give some answers about how we should pray. And I'm not comprehensive, as I mentioned. And these questions are not new, and they're not easily understood from scriptures. And let me just give you an example. You're familiar with George Whitefield. George Whitefield lived in the 1700s, and he was a powerful evangelist, a Calvinistic evangelist. And he was a friend of John Wesley, who was an Arminian evangelist, a powerful preacher. And both of these men happened to be in the same town at the same time, and they both had held evangelistic meetings. It seemed like they were doing some teaming up. A Calvinist evangelist, an Arminian evangelist, both had the same gospel that they were preaching. And a story is told that they stayed in the same boarding house. And at that time, when you stayed in a boarding house or a hotel or whatever you might call it, you shared bedrooms, you shared beds. It wasn't the most pleasant place in the world to be. And it happens that George Whitefield and John Wesley shared the same bedroom and bed. And they both, at the end of a very busy day, went up to their bedroom and each on each side of the bed knelt down to pray. And so George Whitefield prayed something like this: "Lord, we thank thee for all those with whom we spoke today, and we rejoice that their lives and destinies are entirely in thy hand. Honor our efforts according to thy perfect will. In thy name, amen." And he rose from his knees and got into bed. And John Wesley was on the other side of the bed. He had just barely gotten past his invocation. And he said, "Mr. Whitefield, is this where your Calvinism leads you?" And he put his hand down and he went on praying. Well, Whitefield fell asleep. And in a couple hours, he woke up and there was Wesley still on his side of the bed. He got up, he walked over. Wesley was fast asleep. He said, "Mr. Wesley, is this where your Arminianism leads you?" For Mr. Wesley had been praying about every single person that he had met during that day, trying to pray them to salvation. He had been praying about the message that he had preached. He had prayed about everything that had gone on during the day. It was long and tedious, and he fell asleep. And so these two men, great evangelists, very famous, we sing their songs, sing of their songs, we sing their praises. They were most educated. They were familiar with the Bible, and they both had very differing ideas about prayer. And there is much that we can learn about prayer and about God and what God expects of us. And I don't claim to have all the answers, but we can look at this passage and understand something about what Jesus was teaching us here. Because even at Jesus' time, people had some misunderstandings about prayer. So Jesus taught his disciples and his followers how to pray. And then, as time goes on, and if I have opportunity, we will talk about what we should pray, because Jesus gave us a sample prayer. And we're not going to talk about the sample prayer today, but we're going to talk about Jesus' instructions on how to pray. And there are several principles that we can get from the passage that we just read. And the first thing we read is this little phrase, "And when you pray..." Jesus assumes that you are going to pray. And if you believe in God, and if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to want to pray to him. You are going to want to talk to God. Jesus wants those who pray to God to do so in a way that is acceptable to God. We remember the Apostle Paul. Before he was Apostle Paul, he was Pharisee Saul. And he was on that trip, and he got struck by a bright light and became blinded. And he also saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was converted. And he had to be led into the town. And as he was in the town trying to recuperate from what happened to him, The Lord sent a man to him, Ananias, and he told Ananias this. He said, listen, I want you to go and talk to this guy, Pharisee Saul. And Ananias had some reservations about doing so because he knew that Saul was the one who was going to come throw a bunch of people in prison, and he was going to persecute those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what God said to Ananias. He said this. He said, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. Now, Paul was a Pharisee, and he called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. And the Pharisees were known to come into the synagogue and to teach and to preach, and they were known for their prayers. And I'm sure that the Apostle Paul, when he was a Pharisee, had the great ability, because he was a verbal person, to pray very long prayers. And I'm sure that he was one of those Pharisees who set themselves up at the corner of the street and he would just go into prayer. But when the Lord told Ananias to go and talk to Saul, he said, Paul, Saul is praying. This prayer was different than any prayer the Apostle Paul had ever prayed before. He was crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had just struck him down when he was on his way. He was crying out to him and saying, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? What is it that you want me to know? It was a very different kind of prayer. Christians, because of their relationship to God, who has saved them from their sins, are going to want to pray. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing. Jesus assumes that if you have been saved, you are going to want to pray. But secondly, as we read through our passage, Jesus says that your prayer is to be offered to God the Father. Doesn't this seem rather obvious? Aren't all prayers offered to God the Father? But there are many prayers that you hear and I hear today that are not offered to God the Father, that are not offered to God at all. First of all, there are prayers who are offered to other gods. And I know this because you can hear the call to prayer if you're in certain parts of the United States and there's a minaret and the Muslims are calling their followers to prayer. And if you're in certain countries in the Near East, you'll hear the call to prayer and everyone stops. They lay down their little rug, prayer rug. They kneel down and they pray to Allah. That's not the prayers that Jesus was talking about, but there are these prayers that are not to God the Father. And sometimes we hear a prayer at a public meeting and they get someone up there and they pray a prayer. They say, oh, most powerful God, or whatever they say. And they say a bunch of stuff, and then they say, amen. Those people are praying what I call a generic prayer to a Christian like you and like me. That prayer has almost no meaning because it is not a prayer that is being prayed to God the Father. It's a prayer that's just given to some entity up there, whoever that entity is. That is not a true prayer. Jesus wasn't talking about that kind of prayer either. And there are prayers that are being prayed in the Roman Catholic Church and other types of churches to saints. And this is a very common practice. Every time I go to a Catholic church, it seems like there's a bunch of people praying to Mary, or there's other little niches along the wall, and people are offering up prayers to whoever it is that's represented in that little niche, to the saints that have gone on. And we do not need a saint who's just a human being who lived upon this world. We do not need one of those saints to intervene for us as an intermediary between us and God. Now, those saints are dead. And those saints are either in one of two places. Some of those saints are in heaven. They aren't interested in your prayers. They are interested in glorifying God. They are enjoying the fruits of being in heaven. And other saints, I hate to say it, are in hell. They can't do anything with the prayers that you have given them. They aren't interested in them. They're just suffering eternal damnation. And that's why we don't pray to saints. But Jesus isn't talking about those kind of prayers. He is talking about this. People pray because they want to be heard by other people. In other words, they're praying to people. It may seem like they're praying to God, but they're really praying for people. They're praying because they want people to hear them. And that's what Jesus is condemning. He says, hypocrites, you're trying to present an image that is false. You're trying to present yourself as being really spiritual. That person is being very religious. They have a beautiful prayer. He says, those are the kind of people who like to stand up in the synagogue and give this very beautiful, elaborate prayer. These are the people who set themselves up in the corner, at a corner of the street. And they kind of set themselves up, make sure some people are around, and then they go into their prayer. He said, these people are hypocrites. The only thing that they want is for other people to look at them and to think that they're really great spiritual leaders. And when Jesus was teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, I think when he said this, he looked directly at the Pharisees. Pastor Harrison talked about the Pharisees this morning, about what kind of people they were. And the Pharisees were very proud of their religiosity. They were very proud of themselves, and Jesus condemned them. He says in Matthew 23, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And then, as soon as he said that, he said, and then he goes in a diatribe against the Pharisees. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would to enter in. Jesus was talking about hypocrites, and he was saying, you Pharisees are the examples of what a hypocrite is. But then, another way people pray, they not only sometimes we hear prayer to idols or just generic prayers, sometimes we hear about these prayers to saints, sometimes we just hear about prayers because people want to be heard by other people, but sometimes we just pray to ourselves. You thought about it, isn't it true that sometimes our prayers are to ourselves? We're praying to ourselves, I hope I have a good day today, God. Remember that. I'm praying for my family. I pray that this trouble will be taken away from me. I'm praying for the nation. It's all these things that I'm interested in. It seems like I'm just praying for myself. But that prayer isn't meant only for ourselves and for our interests. And Jesus is pointing out to his disciples that when we pray, we are to pray to our Heavenly Father. And he is saying, in contrast to the hypocrite who likes to pray in the synagogue, who likes to pray on the corner of the street, you, he says, should go into a room in your house. And you should close the door. And then you should pray. And when you're in that room, in your house, you should recognize that you are in the presence of God. You don't have to worry about those people passing you on the street. You don't have to worry about all those people in the congregation, in your synagogue. It's just you and God. You're in the presence of God. Now you have focused your thoughts on God. You are going to have a dialogue with God. No one other than God is going to hear what you are going to say. It is a privilege to go into the presence of God. And you do that in a place of prayer, in the privacy of your home or wherever you can get some privacy. Now, Jesus isn't saying you need to spend like hours and hours in your closet or in your room in your house by yourself in prayer. But it is talking your own mind and having your heart focused on praying to God, so that you can pray about your busy schedule for the day, for the things that you're going through in your life, for your family members who are sick or troubled or in difficulty, so that you can spend that time, just you and God, pouring out your heart to God because you are now in the presence of God. And this is one of the teachings of Jesus. And just to give you an example, Jesus did encourage what I would call social praying, praying together. We read in Matthew 18:20, where Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." So if two or three get together to pray, Jesus doesn't condemn that. Jesus encourages that. We read about the early church. The early church had many prayer meetings. We read in Acts 1:14, all those with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so we had group corporate prayer in Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. It's they, it's the congregation. And by that time, it was becoming hundreds and maybe thousands of people praying together. And we read in Acts 6, verse 4, that we, the disciples, the apostles, said, we want to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And finally, when Peter was thrown into prison, we read that earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And so the Bible does not teach that every time you pray, you need to go into this room and just you and God have a time of prayer. But Jesus is saying, those hypocrites, they're not praying. If you want to pray, you need to go in your room. And this is in contrast, and pray to God. And so, third principle is that true prayer is going to be direct and it's going to be sincere. And as we have heard, the prayer of George Whitefield was very direct, it was simple, it was sincere. And the prayer of John Wesley was long, it was tedious, it was repetitive, it was tiring, so tiring that he fell asleep on his knees in prayer. Jesus says, don't heap up empty phrases. And in Jesus' time, and remember where Jesus lived, there were towns that were mostly Jewish. There were towns that were mostly pagan, other cultures. And in those other cultures, other gods were being worshipped. And in Jesus' time, those pagan worshipers thought that they needed to pray to every god that they had worshipped, which was more than one god, and that they would have to repeat their petitions every so often in case they got the wrong god. So now I'm going to have to pray to this other god to make sure that he knows what I want, or she, depending on what you thought about the gods, knows what I want. And so let's say that I generally sacrifice to five gods, and I have a request, or several requests. So I am going to do my little worship service over here to this God. I'm going to pray all my petitions to that God. And if that God doesn't hear very good, I'm going to pray about three times, maybe more. So I do it this God. I'm going to pray to this God because I'm not sure which God is going to hear me and act upon my request. I'm going to pray to this God and this God and this God. And so if I pray to five gods and I have three petitions and I want to repeat my prayers three times, now I've prayed the same prayer 45 times. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't be like the pagans who just repeat their prayers over and over and over again because they are repeating to make sure they attract the attention of one of the gods that they were interested in petitioning. And they made sure that they got one of them, and hopefully one of them would hear. And then Jesus says, avoid asking the same thing over and over again. God does hear your prayers. And God does know what it is that you want. And how many ways can you ask God to help you if you're going through a trial? You can ask him, but if you rephrase it every which way, God still knows what it is that you're asking. And we need to also be careful that the longer our prayer, the better possibility is that God is going to answer it. God doesn't answer prayers based upon the length of the prayer. Now, it will happen that we pray to God frequently to relieve us of pain or difficulty, or to save a family member who is not a Christian. But our prayers don't have to be repetitive, and they don't have to be long. Even King Solomon, in his wisdom literature in Ecclesiastes, says, don't let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. I think this is a much quoted passage by some people. But it is true that God knows what it is. And when we have a right relationship with God and we reach out to God in our prayers, we don't have to use a lengthy explanation to describe to God what it is that we want. And so King Solomon was very wise. And Jesus doesn't say that we shouldn't be persistent. We read about people who have prayed every single day for the salvation of their son or daughter. That is something that is right to do. Because elsewhere, Jesus taught this in Luke chapter 18. There was this widow who had something wronged against her. And there was a judge who didn't really care. And that widow came to that judge day after day and said, I have this problem, make it right for me. And finally, the judge did the right thing. And Jesus called her the persistent widow. because she came over and over, her request was granted. Jesus is addressing that some people quit praying because their prayer never seems to be answered. And he says, don't quit. If you see unrighteousness, if you see ungodliness, that is something for you to pray about faithfully and persistently. As we said, our passage is for a very specific reason. And so here's what we have learned. We've learned that Jesus assumes and expects us to pray if we're a Christian. And true prayer is offered to God the Father, not just a generic God or to other people or saints or whatever. And true prayer is direct and sincere. It isn't like this very verbal, repetitive thing. And lastly, true prayers are made out of obedience to God. Remember what Jesus said in our passage. He said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And almost immediately, I think you're asking, well, why do I need to pray to him if he already knows what I'm going to pray and what I need? And it seems like God already knows what I need. So it seems like I'm wasting breath. But you are not. And here's how we answer that question. First of all, we pray to God to honor him. And why and how are we honoring him? God has told us to pray to him. And Jesus has already said he assumes that we are going to pray. God wants us to articulate what it is that we want to bring before him. And secondly, we pray to acknowledge that God knows our hearts. And we reach out to God and ask for mercy. And God, we pray that you would have mercy on this person that is not a Christian. God, please have mercy as I'm suffering from this extreme pain. God already knows that you're in pain, but you are calling on God to be merciful to you. And thirdly, we pray to God in order to align our thoughts and attitudes to his thoughts. And when a prayer is answered, we recognize that it was in direct response to the prayer that we have given. When we just live life and things happen to us, good things, bad things, whatever, we can say, oh, that's all in the sovereignty of God. But if we have been praying for safety and we arrive safely, we know that that is an answer to our prayer. And we pray for the salvation of somebody and they become saved. We know that is because of our prayers that we have given. God wants us to align our thinking with his thinking. And by praying to God based on the Holy Scriptures, we are aligning our minds with him so that those requests that we have are the same as what God desires for us. And then, fourthly, we pray to God in thanksgiving for his provision and care for our needs. That's why we pray to God. We just don't pray to God asking him things. We pray to God in thanksgiving. And so that's another reason why we pray to God. And so when we think about prayer, the prayer that Jesus is teaching about here, prayer is for Christians. Prayers of non-Christians don't really get heard by God. They are different. I mean, God knows everything, but they are different. God has no reason to to hear those prayers. But when we pray, we not only pray to God our Father, we pray through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one who takes our prayers and makes them presentable to God the Father. And so as Christians, we have a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross and was buried and was raised from the dead because of our sins. We have a relationship with Him, and He intercedes for us to God the Father so that the prayers that we pray are taken by Him and presented to God. If it were not for Jesus Christ, God would have a deaf ear to every prayer. And no one can go to God on their own merit. They have to go to God in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, and I know, that we naturally aren't inclined to prayer. It seems difficult to pray. Sometimes it seems like we don't even desire to pray. And the Apostle Paul knew this. And when he wrote to the Romans, he says, "The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." And when we grapple with those times that we seem dry and lifeless in our prayers, we need to pray to God that His Spirit would come and help us in our prayers so that we would know what to pray and how to pray. And if you are a Christian, you are allowed to pray. It is a privilege for you to pray. And you can pray with confidence, because you can pray to God the Father, you can pray through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are praying in and by the work of the Holy Spirit within you. And that's what Jesus was teaching His disciples, that prayer is special. Prayer is to God the Father. Prayer is an attitude towards God. And that's what He wanted to point out to His disciples. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, help us to remember that when we pray, that we are praying to You. And help us to remember that we can pray directly and sincerely to You, and we don't have to go on and on, but we could just cry out to You. And Lord, we would pray that You would help us to obey You in our prayers and in taking time to pray. In Thy name, amen.